Back-to-school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free August 4th through 5th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles, the best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 178, Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim. It's Kevin.
So many episodes.
I know. It's a lot.
God, we still don't have a fucking sponsor.
Hey, well, we have sponsors. Just
they don't pay us.
Not the type that pay us. The type that we... are invested in. So on that note,
that's not a sponsor.
Make sure you tune into the GCX marathon next week and make Tim jump into a vat of King's Coast coffee while he raises money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah. And I think, what did I say? I think I said 75,000, 75,000, 55,000, somewhere around there. It's a high one. Cause I need to end the day. I can't start the day soaked in coffee because it'll permeate through my skin.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's going to suck when you're trying to go to sleep that night.
But thankfully, it's an 8 to noon block. Mm. So I've got like 9 hours to come off the caffeine that'll end up permeating through my skin.
You're going to be wired.
I'm going to be jacked. I'm going to have to go walk. I'm going to have to go do like cardio or something after.
Like, you want to go to the mall? Let's walk to the mall. We'll walk around the mall. We'll go buy a ton of stuff. It's going to be great.
Just go lift stuff. Just go deadlift real heavy.
And collapse.
It's gonna be the new trend. I told to Chet yesterday, I was like, this is gonna be the new way that I start my workouts.
Coffee baths.
Instead of ice baths, I'm gonna coffee bath myself.
I feel like that's not healthy, but who knows. I'm just that guy.
You could also find out if it's healthy or not by heading over to kingscoastcoffee.com and getting yourself a delicious roaster order bag of King's Coast today. We got Summer Swells right now. Summer Swells is available.
We do have 5-pound bags if you want to make yourself a bath, so like Tim. So if you want to make yourself a coffee bath, you can buy 5-pound bags.
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone out there that swears by coffee soaking at least once a month.
I used to love when we'd hang out with my friends in my late teens, early 20s, and we'd be drinking beer. Mm-hmm. I used to love a good, if I was in the pool or something, like shake up a beer and just all over me, like I just won the World Series or something. I don't know why, the smell.
Why would you pour beer into the pool?
It's just for fun, man.
Think about the pH level.
Yeah, I was 10.
The chemical balances.
I'm like 22 years old. You think I'm concerned with the pH level in the pool?
That was something you thought about?
No, that's something I didn't think about.
It was something that you were just that you look forward to in the summer. Like, I can't wait till I jump in a good pool beer and bath. Pour beer over myself.
A good beer bath. It doesn't have to be in the pool. You could be out of the pool. But it feels like you just like won the Stanley Cup or something. I'm telling you, it's great.
Okay.
It's very refreshing. But if you want to do that with coffee, you can get 5-pound bags, kingscoastcoffee.com. And like we said, you can watch Tim. The charity marathon starts on Friday, twitch.tv/GCX event. And the event is just over a month away in Orlando, Florida, at Universal Orlando Resort. You can get your tickets also at gcxevent.com. You can hang out with like Tim and play. Maybe you'll play Magic with Tim. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, that's the whole reason to go to GCX, is just to hang out with me.
It's turning into mini Magic Con. It literally is just create. The two most successful things about GCX, it's no longer video games. That was like 5 years ago. Now, it's D&D TCG, and the creators. Those are the three most important parts of GCX based on exit surveys, conversations, everything. I know, I'm equally as shocked. I didn't expect to get into all of this, but you can come join us. Universal Studios sound stages. You don't need a ticket to the park. I know people were asking that, where it's not in the park. It is at Universal Orlando Resort. You can get discounted tickets to the park if you like. They have a half day ticket that you can get in at 2 or 4, which I think is awesome.
Oh, sick. You could do day one GCX.
Buy your before, 4 o'clock ticket. It's like $80
at the After Dark show.
Mm-hmm.
You could go run around the park for a little bit. And then after the park, you could then go to the comedy or whatever we're doing. I don't think we've announced it yet.
I'm just waiting for a graphic.
You can come check it out.
GCXEvent.com, Universal Orlando Resort. Come hang out, meet your favorite creators, play some card games and whatnot. Speaking of card games.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Well, no, my buddy Rob was here, my cousin's husband, with his kids for the weekend, and we played a ton of Magic, ton of Lorcana, and Juliet had that rash appear that Hunter had.
Oh, no.
So that's why I did not call you.
Thank you for not inviting me.
She tested negative for everything, but I think it's just because we caught it so early and the antibiotics started early. So she tested negative for everything, but better safe than sorry. Because I actually, the morning that she woke up with it, I was going to call you that day and be like, hey, you want to come over after Kyler's in bed and play some Magic? But then I was like, Tim's not going to come if he finds out about this. So
no. I wouldn't turn my ass around. Like, okay, bye.
So that's why. But we played a ton of Lorcana, a ton of Magic, and nice. A bunch of Star Wars Unlimited. And the only Star Wars Unlimited game I had played was with Hunter. So obviously I played it wrong the first time. Rob knew the rules, so we went through it. It's a very interesting game. It's more than Lorcana and less than Magic. That's my best description. But it's turn for turn.
But Lorcana is Magic at instance or at sorcery speed.
Yeah, it's baby Magic, which is why I like it. Because it's quick. Although we did have a 40-minute Lorcana game one night. That's because my one cousin, Lauren, was stacking all of the dwarves, and they have stacking abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just got the new deck with the family Madrigal, who also has stacking abilities. So it was just a war of attrition.
Just board wipe it all.
I did at one point, and everyone got very mad at me.
As they should.
Because I board wiped, and everyone had a bunch of stuff.
No one likes a board wipe.
I was losing, and I don't like losing. But Unlimited's interesting because it's turn for turn. So you start a turn, you get resources, mana, and then you go shot for shot on your board. It's not, I'm going to do my whole turn, and then you can react. It is, you make a move, I make a move. You make a move, I make a move. So it's more like a chess match with card games.
All right.
And then once everyone's done, the first person that doesn't have any more moves, they take initiative, and then the next person can do whatever they need to, and then they'll take, and their turn, and then you start over. The person who took initiative goes first on the next turn. And it's all about destroying the base. So the base gets destroyed. You have a hero card.
Mm-hmm.
It has an ability you can use with resources, and then you can play them as a hero. If they die, they go back to the and become a resource again. Or they become an ability you can do with resources. So like Vader subtracts a point from your base every time you use a resource each turn. Luke puts a shield token on units as well. Apparently the most OP one that we were talking about is the Sabine Wren card.
Uh-huh.
It takes a point from your base every turn.
Oh.
So that's apparently if there's a deck out there that's like complete Sabine Wren, all hell breaks loose deck. But I enjoyed it. Like I was telling Tim before we started, it's very intimidating to try and play with my group of friends because they're all like, here's my $3,000 deck. And it's like, I bought this for $100 at Target.
It's a penis measuring contest.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what it all boils down to.
Because I've seen the $4,000 deck just flop on its face. It doesn't mean shit.
Against a weak deck?
Yeah, I've seen it just flop. They get mana starved or, it doesn't work out. It happens.
So, yeah, I enjoy it. Rob bought his wife gave him $100, I guess, for Christmas. She was like, I've been saving this since Christmas. So she gave it to him because we were going to the card shop. We went to Oblivion, and he bought a box for Unlimited and just ripped packs for like an hour.
Nice.
And then he built a deck and absolutely destroyed me with it. So
out of the cards that he pulled?
Yeah, he built a Boba Fett deck.
Amazing.
So yeah, it was pretty it's pretty funny, but it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed Lorcana with him too, just because we kept switching decks. I used his Locus, I think that's his name.
Oh yeah,
The green card.
Yep.
Ornath. Onanath. Magic. Here he is. Omnath, Locus of Mana. That's who I use.
Is it the mono green Omnath? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I played.
Yeah. Is that the one where everything gets like extra mana when you tap it?
You don't lose unspent green mana as steps and phases end.
It all goes into just a massive mana pool.
Yep. Yeah. And he gets a 1/1, and then you get that mana pool to spend.
That's nasty.
It was fun, but he still beat me with the Lord of the Rings deck. So, because we swapped decks. He used Galadriel and beat me.
The white, red, blue one?
No, green, blue.
Green, blue.
Yeah. So, it was fun. Fun to...
Is it the food token one?
Yes, there's a food token in that one.
Well, yeah, there's food token and everything because of Lord of the Rings.
It's the Hobbit one. Hobbit Breakfast, I think it's called.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways.
And then there's a card. Oh, there's a card in there that does something crazy with the food token. I can't remember what it is. It's one of the Hobbits. Some brandy book. But yeah, it was fun. So I know you're not going to invest in it, but you can use my shit when you come over and play Star Wars Unlimited. Rob found a website too. If you wanted to give it a whirl, you don't need the game. It's called Karabas.net, KARABAST.NET.
Karabas.net.
And it's just, you can just put pre-made decks into there and then play with other people online. I'm sure Disney will ruin our fun on that one.
Yeah, that'll get a cease and desist. There's no way it doesn't.
They closed the other one down that you could play against the AI, so I'm assuming that.
Yeah, and everyone was super excited about that one.
Because it had Lorcana and Unlimited, so. I don't know. I enjoy these games. Magic is still very intimidating for me, but I think that's just the Magic crown that I roll with.
Just gotta play it.
I think that's just it. It's just
Anyway,
but yeah, that was the, I wanted to put that out there because I had a lot of fun playing Unlimited. So
glad that you had fun playing Unlimited.
I did. Good. I had a lot of fun playing Unlimited. What were you saying before we started about Outlaws?
Oh, yeah. In the other gaming news, Ubisoft has come out and has said that 3 out of the 5 planets that are explorable can be done in under 5 minutes on a speed bike. And people are kind of unhappy about that.
On a speeder bike, then?
Yeah, but I mean, it also, like, I wonder what that means. Like, you're just going in a straight line. Is that because it's, like, just, like, it's Tatooine, so it's just, like, big open spaces? But still, to go around an entire planet in 5 minutes, that means the entire planet is not accessible. And so I think that's what people are also kind of, like, bummed about, is they were hoping for, like, a more true, like, Star Wars open world game, because that's what this has been advertised as, is the first ever true Star Wars open world game. And if you can go around a planet in 5 minutes, and that's 3 out of the 5 planets, then you're not really getting that true, like, open world experience. But at the same time, open world in the sense of, like, hey, I can go down to that planet, I can walk around, there's no, like, real, like, it's not really on rails. You know, like, yeah, there's borders and limitations, but for the most part, you've given me a sandbox, I get to walk around and interact with the things in the space. So, I can see why people are concerned, especially for the price point. We have talked about it in the past, though, that we really feel like this is a big push for Ubisoft trying to get more people to acquire Ubisoft Plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the subscription, is it Ubisoft Plus?
Ubisoft Now? So, yeah.
Ubisoft Plus?
whatever it is.
Whatever the fuck is it. I feel like, you know, them slamming $100+ price tag on this game, they're like, oh, but wait, if you go and subscribe,
plus
it's only whatever. It's only what, $20, $18?
It is.
And you get the game 3 days early. So yeah, I mean, like I know, like we're counting down the days to Outlaws.
18.
You know, $18 a month. You know, cause, I mean, like that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna subscribe to it, for when Assassin's Creed drops and for when Outlaw. You know, I'm just gonna play it through that, and then I'm just gonna end my subscription. There's no reason for me to keep it.
No. No.
And I'm not spending $100+ on the game.
They do have one that's completely tangential to this. They have an $8 subscription that has a bunch of older, and when I say older, I mean like Ghost Recon Breakpoint and Valhalla and Far Cry 6, not like old.
Oh, that was, I was like expecting like Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare.
No, like the Division, almost all the Assassin's Creed are here. Anyway, like if you're just starved for games and you don't want to pay a lot of money, $8 a month to play all of this. Oh, Blood Dragon's in here. That's a freaking classic. For $8, that's actually not a bad deal.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article right now. This is from IGN. It says, some Star Wars Outlaws planets can be crossed in 4 to 5 minutes on a speeder. Speaking to IGN as part of the larger interview, creator director Julian greatly reiterated the planets Tatooine and T'Shara Moon, Akiva, Ijimi, and Cantonika will all be around the size of 2 or 3 zones in the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And confirmed T'Shara is very close in size to Akiva and Tatooine. I think Tatooine may be a little bit bigger. So how big is 2 to 3 zones in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Kevin?
It's a decent size. I mean, how many were in Odyssey? How many zones?
There was a lot, wasn't there?
Are there? It was the city-states are in Odyssey.
Like I feel like those POIs are going to be more vertical. They're going to be more based around like buildings and going up and down instead of just like going.
It said regions
around. It said 2 to 3. What's the word that he used?
Each zone is assigned two to three regions.
Zones. Yeah, it said around the size of 2 to 3 zones in Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
So there's 42 zones in Odyssey. Or regions. There's 42 regions, which represent not the city-states, but the larger cities around Greece. It's like Mykonos is in there and Kefalonia. And
so I assume that in Tatooine, you're probably only going to be able to play around in probably Mos Eisley and then Jabba's Palace. And you could probably just explore between like those areas.
Jundalen Wastes.
And they'll just give you all of that to kind of mess around in.
Yeah, it's the Jundalen Wastes, I think is what it's called. So looking at a quick, there's another spaceport there that I think they mentioned though.
Oh, don't they mention Mos Eisley?
I thought they mentioned the other one. I could be confusing it with another Star Wars game.
There's a couple
game.
Of different
things. Mos Espa is the other one.
What, do we go to Espa?
I think we go in the games. The speeder track.
Well,
Espa,
we've been there. We've been to Espa before.
The speeder track is also on Tatooine. And that's actually, Mos Espa is actually where the speeder track is, not Mos Eisley, if this map is correct.
Okay.
And then Jabba's Palace is like the other side. So, I mean, theoretically, they could do the entire map of Tatooine and it would still hold true to what they said. The known map, I should say. Because, I mean, you're going to want to get, if it's open world, you're going to want little Lutini action. You're going,
yeah, most definitely. You want to see a sand crawler. You want sand people.
You
want to
get shot at in your speeder mm-hmm. by, you know.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like at this point, with the state of gaming and how things are, like I'm just happy that we're getting a Star Wars game.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, right now, I'd rather be excited about the game than to tear it apart before even getting my hands on it. You know, like. Just getting bits and pieces like this and like seeing an entire article written about like the overall size of these planets, you know, it gets you reading, you know, it gets you curious. But at the same time, Like, I don't want to ruin the fun for myself before I even like get my hands on it. So I'm going to continue staying positive about it. I'm excited to play a Star Wars open world game, and we'll see what happens. Go from there.
So yeah, Mos Espa is where the speeder bike stuff was. So that's essentially, I'm assuming, episode one for the pod racing and whatnot.
Now that's pod racing.
And yeah, it's showing Watto on the map here. So I'm assuming this is a fun little map. Also, I mean, you're going to have to be able to go to the Sarlacc pit, no?
I would hope so.
Could you find Obi-Wan?
Oh, yeah. Well, he'd be dead.
I thought it was pre-4. Is between nope. 4 and 5?
5 and 6.
5 and 6, so yeah, he's dead. Maybe you can go to his hut, though.
Maybe.
Can we find Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's burnt skeletons?
No, that would be really funny. They were still smoldering.
How many years later?
That would be really funny. Showed up for the family cookout.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, I could see. We'll find out in a few weeks.
We got a little over a month at the end of August, August 27th for those that have early access, August 30th for those that don't. You goddamn peasants.
You son of a. Anyway.
Anywho,
let's take a quick break and we'll talk Acolyte when we come back.
Yes. Power of two, power of many.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's talk about witches.
Witches!
All right, overall, before we like get into it, overall,
hey,
from start to finish.
Before you say that, Lucasfilm is officially working on their next animated show.
Yes.
The job listings are out, so I wonder if that's Old Republic. I just want to put that out there.
I would love to see that. Or Dawn of the Jedi. What did you think of the episode?
I enjoyed it. A cool Legends Easter egg was the Mother Anasea turning to ethereal smoke monster.
Yeah, okay, so can you explain that to me?
I can't really explain it to you, but it's from Legends. There's shadow powers from one of the Leia novels. It's the original Night Sisters from Legends could do that. So they're bringing
it. Okay, so, I mean, we can get into it, but...
Here's my theory.
They said that Night Sisters don't raise children.
Right, which made the whole situation weird. I think that we were right at the beginning that they are an offshoot of the Night Sisters.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think they are Night Sisters.
But I think they're an offshoot. They are shared heritage or lineage there.
Yeah, they use the same dark magic.
They use the same dark magic. They can do this. I think what Leslie Headland did was...
The ice thing?
Was create... basically the Night Sisters from Legend and made them a coven in canon.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's what she did. But yeah, when I saw that power, I was like, I remember that from the book. So yeah, the OG Force Witches used this shadowy power, which is weird because you can still kill them.
Because she wasn't like, she was in the in-between. She was like starting to transform and she was going to go somewhere. And then Sol stops her by plunging his lightsaber into her.
So I told you when we were leaving Summit, I started Supernatural for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember how the demons come out of people?
Yes.
So that was my immediate thought. I was like, ooh, she's going to go inside somebody and haunt them or something. I thought they were, she was going to like take over someone's body.
Smoke and, a vomit.
Yeah, and fight something. So I was waiting for that, but I guess it was just too much supernatural. I thought that ability, again, another harken back to Legends, which is funny because, you know, a lot of the complaints are ripping, you know, the canon process apart and whatnot. And it's like they're taking so much from Legends that you all asked for, but it's just not being implemented the way that people wanted it to be implemented. So I thought the shadow power was cool. I liked the ability to fill in most of the blanks, not all of the blanks, on the history of it. I really liked Evil Kelnaka.
Yeah, dude, him getting possessed was wild. All right, let's okay. So, like, overall, you thought the episode was great. You liked it.
It was good. It wasn't my favorite episode of Star Wars. It wasn't my favorite episode of this show. But yeah, it was a good way to, you know, again, I'll go back to what I said early on in this. Like, this is how you tell a story out of order, Witcher 1 or Season 1. Sure. Pay attention, because that was just a travesty. This, they're doing a good job of making sure we know, but also advancing the plot in a way where, you know, okay, we got you to this point. Now you got more questions. We're going to answer them. Now, I will say that this episode brought up a lot more questions, but it also answered the previous ones we had. So that was that's my top down view on this episode.
Okay. All right. Let's start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We finally understand why the Jedi were there. And I think it was a really cool tie-in with the books.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that this planet was cataloged as a lifeless planet because of the hyperspace.
The great hyperspace disaster from Light of the Jedi.
The hyperspace disaster, but this is what happened in the first book when we were launching fucking rocks at people.
Yep, Light of the Jedi.
Which I thought was a really cool throwback. And a lot of people, I had someone in chat the other day, you know, come in and they were asking me, they're like, is this canon? They're like, I don't recognize any of this in Star Wars. Like, is this considered canon? I was like, aha, you haven't been, you don't know about High Republic stuff, do you? And so I really like that they're continuing to tie in. Like, so now we're really figuring out, like, okay, like they're still dealing, or they're still trying to figure out what happened after all of that with the Nihil. And so I wonder if we'll even get mention of the what's the big barrier shield.
I forget what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Not the void, but
the Nihil one.
The occlusion zone. I wonder if they'll ever bring up the occlusion zone. Just more mentions of that. I know we'll probably end up figuring out what happened at the end of the book when that next one comes out.
Well, the Nihil seem to be gone at this point.
Yeah, there's no mention of space pirates or anything like that. I think, again, what was a great showcase in this episode was the want to hide things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the keeping of secrets has been like this constant theme in the show, and I think that's great. We learned that the Jedi are there because of this whole thing of this fountain of force power that can create life.
Virgins.
So is this now what we're going to start saying is like there was a virgins on Tatooine and like that's how Anakin came to be? Or was the virgins the first start of it? And that's why, maybe that's why Plagueis is somehow tied in with this?
I mean, it can't not be how Plagueis is tied into it. This doesn't make any sense.
I'm assuming there isn't a virgins on Tatooine.
So
I don't know because Palpatine had a vault on Tatooine, and he only put vaults and stuff in places where there was a like strong force presence there.
So I'm looking at the canon article for virgins. I mean, there's a few mentioned, obviously the one on Coruscant, which is what the Jedi Temple is built on.
Right.
Mortis is a virgins. Or the Mortis is like the virgins. It's the fulcrum of the galaxy, it says. The Cave of Evil on Dagobah. The Cave Makes on sense. Octo. the wellspring of life. Never heard of this. A planet that was the foundation of life and what connects the living in the cosmic force, the birthplace of the midichlorians. That's probably where...
Is that where Yoda goes
and meets the Wills? That would be my assumption. The dwelling of the five force priestesses. Yep, that's them. So that's where Yoda goes. Jedi Temple on Lothal.
That would make sense because they can go into the in-between.
The Temple of Edit on Devaron. Don't know that one.
Edit, isn't that... Don't you go there in... isn't that in Survivor?
I'm trying to see. Temple of Edit is in... what is it on? It's in two Clone Wars episodes. And a bunch of books.
Okay. I was like, it sounds really familiar.
It's probably from Clone Wars. And then the Jedi Temple on Ilum, where all the Force, the crystals are. That one makes sense. The Mirror Cave on Octo, we just discussed. The Great Chasm on Ushuru is another one. That one is only in a audiobook. The Mighty Chewbacca in the Forest of Fear.
What?
The planet... Oh, I just lost it. Damn it. Where'd it go? I reloaded back into the page and it moved my... There it is. The planet Elene on the moon and the moon Iktach. And then Exegol had enormous fissures that reached deep into its crust. Such were thought to be pathways to hidden transportative virgins and hence excavated by Sith loyalists in antiquity.
Oh.
Which is why they were there. So those are the ones we know about.
Interesting. Okay.
So now there's one on.
So this isn't anything new for those that are gonna be like, they're rewriting everything. They're just adding more context to it now.
Yes. Yeah. The virgins.
Now we know. Now we know what these virgins are and what they're capable of doing. And apparently that deep pit, that is the virgins. So it must be something to do with like.
It looked like
tapping into the planet's core.
It looked like the Mirror Cave on Octo. It looked like where the kind of looks like the cave Luke walks into, but. You know, it's on the ground instead of a cave.
Hole, yeah.
They're all similar.
Rotated 90-degree cave.
They're all similar, so it's not like they're changing that as well. But, it makes sense. One, why would the Jedi be looking for it? Two, this planet that was part of the great hyperspace disaster now suddenly has life on it. Weird. Now the question is, did the virgins create the life... And then that's why the witches were drawn to it. And then they wanted to create life too. So that's how we got.
Well, I wonder if the coven was destroyed because of the hyperspace debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either from that planet to begin with, or they traveled to that planet after the fact. And they saw that they were able to create life because it was creating life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, we can recreate our coven by just creating more of us from here.
I like that theory.
I think that they were trying to repopulate themselves by using themselves as carriers of these children to then just repopulate.
Now...
And that's how they would go. They would just continuously just create new life. And that's why. Oh, that's why all of them. I mean, again, it's great when they're witches and they're women because they can all carry children. And so, like, it's just this constant just loop of you don't need men. It's like an Amazonian story to a certain degree. You don't need men. They were just gonna make just a bunch of just witches.
Now, the one thing that threw me for a loop on that was when Master Indara asked Mei about ascension. She called it a sacrifice.
I don't think it was a physical sacrifice. I thought about that.
I don't think so either, but I know that raised all their eyebrows.
Like, and Dara thought it was a physical. She took it. I think Sol also took it as a physical. They're going to sacrifice the children. And I think what Mother Anastasia means is like you are sacrificing who you were to become who you're going to be.
Right. So, but I think that's part of the reason they like
But look at all the Force Caves too. The Force Caves were all about sacrifice. It was all about killing off that weak side of yourself, the part that was, you know, that could succumb to fear and anxiety and like passion, like all that stuff. You kill that off in the cave. It all gets taken away from you. You get stripped of it. And I think it was all a lot of like figurative speech. And of course the Jedi take everything literal because, you know, that's just how they are. So I think that's where, again, you have this big, and but she even said, she was like, we shouldn't start a conflict. So even though she didn't agree with the way that they were living, she understood that this was their way of life. Mm-hmm. And I respected that. I think that was great. And I think like it was unfortunate that this conflict happened because of a manipulation by, like, I think an unknowing manipulation of Mother Anisea of Torben.
And you also now have Soul in the Qui-Gon role here, where he doesn't want to listen to the council because you have,
because he feels like he knows what's right.
He knows what's right. You have these beings with high M counts, and they, which by the way, I'm going to say this, Tim, midichlorians are still way stupider than anything else we've ever
so
had in any
dumb,
show,
dude.
Now that I got that out of the way, but they had the high M count. And
it wasn't just the high M count. Their organelles were exactly the same.
Yeah,
so,
that was the other piece of it.
So they are.
Would you say that's
the
same DNA
the same
footprint?
Person. No, they are literally a clone of each other.
But that's what I mean. That's their DNA footprint being identical. Correct.
No, but it's not even like it's not even like he's looking. Yeah, he's looking at the DNA the DNA makeup of the midichlorian.
And saying they're identical,
and those organelles, and it's just like in any twin, like you're never. Yes, they might be identical, but there's still going to be markers and whatnot that are going to like make them different.
But these were saying exact.
But exactly, he was saying these are direct copies. It is a copy of each other with a split consciousness. They are two people they are two people inhabiting the same body, essentially.
Which then goes back to the,
that's why when she says we are of two but of one.
Now let me ask
you
this:
they are like, if together they make one person,
right?
That's the part, is that their consciousness has been split, and so it is yin and yang. Which, it is like May is the negative side. She's all the bad stuff, and Osha is more of the good, more docile side of the coin.
But what happens now that Osha's about to explore the dark side?
I don't know. It might flip.
Does it flip them or does it do something else?
The coin. I think the coin might flip. Also, it makes me wonder, still continued now, I wonder who this master truly is. The idea of May killing all these unarmed people, these masters unarmed, makes sense because May's mother was killed. She was unarmed. Mm-hmm. She was killed by a weapon, so she has to do the same. She has to take a life without using a weapon,
mm-hmm.
because her life was taken, and she held no weapon. I thought that was great. I liked that a lot. But it still makes me wonder a few things. One, is the master somehow tied to these witches? I don't think it is the Dathomirian.
No.
I don't think it's her.
If it's Plagueis, I think there's a reverse engineering that will take place to figure out how this happened.
So I mean, like there are so many things that start to like come together that like from the book, like they were in the mines. When Plagueis kills his master, they were in mines. This place was a mining colony. Also, the other place that we visited with the stranger, what's his name? I keep on forgetting his name.
Khmer. Baldemic Khmer, is the name of the planet.
That was another planet where they were mining materials.
Well, in the book, Plagueis kills Tenebris on Baldemic.
On Baldemic during a cave-in.
Right, and they're trying,
and we haven't figured out if Baldemic is the planet.
I believe it was confirmed that that's Baldemic, but don't quote me on that. It was in passing that I saw that.
Interesting.
It's not Octo. That might be what I'm thinking.
No, it's definitely not. It's so Leslie Headland came out and said it's supposed to mimic Octo. It is supposed to have the same feeling of desolation and she wanted it to be green. She wanted to be surrounded by water, but she also wanted it to feel like you were alone, you know, isolated.
But yeah, I believe it. I'm pretty sure it's Beldemnik.
Okay. Well, that's where he kills Tenebris.
And the Cortosis veins is the other big hint that it's Beldemnik.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, while on Beldemnik, right? The two Sith are inspecting a Cortosis Cortosis mine. When a gas explosion threatens them, they use their force powers to protect themselves. Plagueis notices stones cracking above Tenebris. He seizes the moment and snaps Tenebris' neck, slowly killing him. Plagueis then uses the force to watch Tenebris' midichlorians die.
Yeah, he crushes him with a rock.
So, if this, if Plagueis gets his hands on one of them, then, yeah, he would reverse engineer it. My other thing, too, is Kylo Ren's theme played again.
Yeah.
But do you know when it played?
No.
This is significant.
Okay.
Obviously, Kamir wasn't in this episode, right?
Right.
The only person that has been on screen every time that Kylo Ren's theme plays is Master Soul.
Oh, fuck.
It played during the fight with Kel Naka.
Oh, no. That was a great fight.
Both of them. So is the witch. The witch getting mad that he wouldn't fight back.
That was an awesome fight. I want to know, did Endara snap all of their necks?
I don't know if she snapped all their necks. I don't know what she did.
Why did they all die?
I don't know if she just used the force to push them out and maybe that messed them up. I don't know how that happened.
It looked like she like turned her neck a little bit and then they all like they were like fighting it and then they turned their necks and they all just like flop over. Those witches were terrifying. Them doing the whole like swaying back and forth and doing incantations, like that was creepy.
And controlling a Wookiee Jedi.
And his little smirk that he did, I've watched this episode twice. I watched it this morning when I got on the treadmill and I watched the whole thing. And then I came home and I watched it again. This is not my favorite episode.
No, the episode 5 was my favorite.
It is not my favorite episode. I did not love this episode. There are definitely things that I liked about it. There are moments where I'm like, oh yeah, that was cool. Nice nod. But this one I have very mixed feelings about. Because like there are parts where I'm like, oh, that's good. There's other parts where I'm just left kind of scratching my head going, what were we doing here?
Yeah, I agree. There's a few of those. I did like the line about not insulting the Wookiees cooking. It's like, can we just, like, we can't insult Wookiees anymore.
Let the Wookiee win.
Always let the Wookiee win.
Let the Wookiee win.
Let the Wookiee win. Yeah, again, it was a good episode. It advanced the plot, but it also brought up more questions now that we have. But it's pointing towards Plagueis. I don't know if that's a bait and switch. I don't know if this is pre-Tenebris, post-Tenebris. We don't know. But it's pointing towards Plagueis in every aspect of it. For the people that are saying this further ruins Anakin's legacy.
How?
Anakin is the perfection of this idea at the end of the day. That's what it is. This is the first, this is the alpha test, if you will. Am I wrong in my thought process there?
No, not at all, because this is also just anyone could have been the chosen one. Like, right. Really, at the end of the day. Like, it was a prophecy. Doesn't mean that it was actually going to happen.
We also don't know if the Force birthed Anakin, or if it was Plagueis and Sidious, or if it was the dark side of the Force that birthed Anakin. We don't know. There's multiple theories on where
this
he
doesn't
came
take
from.
This doesn't take away from, like, anything. Like, the episode on Mortis, his conversation with the father, his journey through the dark side and his salvation arc and all the things he had to go through with Obi-Wan, like there's so much there. Like you can't take away Anakin Skywalker. You can't take all of that away from him and look at a finite detail that is his conception. Why the fuck do you care how his mom got pregnant? She got pregnant. They had Anakin. Like, there it is. Like, no one knew, no one cared about Anakin's dad. Oh. No one gave a shit.
That's funny. This is 4 days ago, really? And they just dropped this without saying anything?
What?
Oh, no, this is an old comic. Okay. So in Darth Vader number 25 in 2018, the comic, it actually shows Plagueis with a pregnant Shmi Skywalker. But she's pregnant already. That's where you're losing me. It shows him, like, as a shadow behind her saying, like, no, father, you're the chosen one. But she's pregnant already in this shot. That's where I'm, like, on the fence.
Well, they would go to Tatooine to, I wonder if they, don't they talk about an aftermath about him going, like, back and forth to Tatooine?
Mm-hmm. I vaguely remember that.
So I would assume, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure in aftermath they talk about the Emperor going back and forth to Tatooine. I always assumed that was him checking in on Shmi.
But then,
why does he stop checking in on her?
Because it says Darth Vader number 25 confirms Anakin Skywalker was the result of dark side midichlorian manipulation inside of Shmi Skywalker's womb, personally performed by Emperor Palpatine. It doesn't even mention Darth Plagueis.
Because the assumption is that he was already dead.
Right, but isn't it in Legends that they do it together?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know.
It's been forever.
I was just going off canon.
But according to Disney canon in 2018, that's what this comic shot alludes to. There was no father, unnatural, the chosen one. Yeah, that's what this says here.
I'm along for the ride. And I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now. Is like, I trust Dave Filoni.
Also, this, again, it doesn't cheapen it. Like, it just...
It doesn't at all. It doesn't ruin Anakin's story in the slightest.
There needs to be context of how he... Well, I mean, there didn't need to be, but we're having fun with putting context to the how now. Is what it is. But...
Because people love to know how. But honestly, at this point, I'd rather just stay a mystery because I'm tired of all the fighting.
This also links back to the sequels because it shows you what it would take to make a Force-sensitive clone. It's not just going to Kamino and being like, hi, yes, one Force-sensitive clone, please.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Welcome to the Force. What's your order?
Yeah, I'll get a large
one large Sith Lord, please.
Can I get a Jedi in the side there? And
make his lightsaber.
Can you supersize
two-sided.
Me to a dark side mystic, like maybe a Night Sister or something like that? Okay, like, thanks.
That's not how the Force works.
There is literally only two people on the planet who know exactly how the Force works. One of them works at Lucas, and one of them sold it to Disney.
How fucking dare you, dude? Star Wars Theory knows everything about the Force. Shut up.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. I'll give him credit, too. I wonder if he likes the show. I'd be curious.
He probably hates it.
Freddie?
Probably.
I don't know. He's a huge sequel fan.
I don't know. He probably just... I don't know. I feel like Freddie... Like now he's just kind of like, yeah, I fucking hate Star Wars.
I never want to be the Star Wars fans too that defend everything. And I feel like Tim and I
never.
Do a really good job.
Fuck that, dude.
Of just saying what we like and saying what we don't. And that's it. I still think episodes 1 and 2 are the biggest piles of dog garbage.
They're terrible.
In this entire franchise.
They do not hold up.
Duel of the Fates. Way worse than Acolyte. Way worse. Way worse.
And you're better at defending episode 3 than I am. I'm like, yeah, the lightsaber fight at the end was sick.
I like episode 3. I think it's a good movie. Episode 8, take out Rose and Finn. Good movie.
Take out Cantabite.
Cantabite 2
can go. Oh, take out all of Rose and Finn? All of the Rose and Finn or arc. Take out the hacker. Take out Ben Solo in the shower scene.
Why?
He's just...
Why would you want to remove Ben Solo?
He got really puffy for that. Like I don't know why they did that. Like
take that out.
He had puffy boobs.
Episode 9 is rushed and full of holes because it was rushed. I still think episodes 1 and 2 are worse.
We went on this entire thing, this entire journey between episodes 7 and 8, and then we end up with 9, and it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
At least 7 and 8 made some sense. At least there was some continuity there.
That comic book of the Stormtrooper Rebellion for episode 9 and that thing on Mustafar.
It was so good.
Oh, that was so good. I like
that. Should have been the ending.
I like the idea of Exegol. I like that there's statues of the ancient Sith in there. I like that it goes back to Old Republic.
You can't gloss over that shit.
No, it's too cool and too awesome. But somehow Palpatine returned. Sorry, that sucks. In episode 9, I saw a video the other day that I was like, damn, that's right. Is when all the ships show over the end, they're like, cool, we got all these Star Destroyers, but no TIE fighters defending them whatsoever.
they had to copy everything. So they just like, when you have to copy all these other things, you just like that one guy who's in charge of the Xerox machine forgot like, the TIE fighters.
Oh, the TIE fighters. I knew.
Fuck!
I forgot something.
Oh, we got a paper jam.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. But again, like, I'm laughing. I'm also, I have tons of friends. We've had people on the show in the past 2 months who love the prequel trilogy. And I will say to their face, I think it's terrible, but I'm glad you enjoy it because that's their nostalgia. So, yeah, you know what? In 10, 15, 20 years, when my son is raving about how much he loves Acolyte and it's part of and Mandalorian and that's his Star Wars, whatever the next thing is, then they'll hate that and we'll go through this vicious cycle again. Or you could just tell people, not tell people what they can and can't like, and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. I'm totally fine with people
not
who don't like the show.
My internet, boomer.
And yeah, I will say that white knighting is a little rough too right now with the, well, it's doing no wrong. Like that is a whole other subset of annoying sure. people. Call a spade. Tim and I said the episode, I probably enjoyed it a little more than Tim, but I also keep in mind, Tim's not a Legends guy. So when I saw the Shadow Knight yeah. Sister Witch, that excites me because it's Legends stuff. Tim's not a Legends guy.
But for me, I'm like, I want to know more about that shit because she looked cool.
Exactly. And that is the fun part of this. And for those who are like, the writing's campy, I laugh every time. I'm like, have you never watched a Star Wars movie before?
I watched episode 4 with Kyler on Saturday. And every fucking time. Look, sir, droids. I laugh. Because the writing, it's so comical because at that point, that reminds me of Spaceballs. Because it's just like, it's the same energy as we ain't found shit.
I love Mark Hamill. I would probably cut off a finger to have him on the podcast or something. But come on, like, we gotta go to the Tashi station to get some power converter. It is, come on, come on. This is the Aww. Supreme cinema that you... Luke is so whiny in episode 4. To an annoying point.
I thought that was done on purpose in episode 2. I thought they made Anakin a whiny bitch to match episode 4.
Even someone showed the force kick from episode 6. You know what I'm talking about, on the barge, the pleasure barge, when he kicks the guy and there's probably 2 feet of air between them.
Yes.
Someone posted that and they're like, oh, remember when we used to have fun with things in Star Wars? And people like went in on him like, this is different. And I'm like, it's not different, though. It's so campy, silly,
it's the same
and fun
level.
To the point where we've come up with lore to back up the mistakes.
The jeans guy. Where's that energy?
The jeans guy. The my favorite is the Obi-Wan Anakin fight where they're like, well, they're wrestling in their minds. Come on, say it was a movie made in the 70s with the intention of fencing being the style of fighting back then. And we've altered it. Who cares?
Do you know that they talk about the dust that comes off the lightsabers? Do you know that there's actual dust that falls because they wrapped the original poles in a chromatic film?
Oh.
And so like this film had like a very like it had like this weird like just like reflective like property of it. And I guess it made it easier for rotoscoping because they physically had to frame by frame go in on the actual piece of footage and rotoscope it with a brush. And when they would go back and watch episode 4, when Vader and Obi-Wan make contact with their lightsabers, there is dust that falls off from the lightsabers.
Funny.
And so there's actual lore about the dust falling and how it was like, you know, the people trying to, you know, make excuses for that stuff.
That's fun.
But that's okay.
That's fun. That's what a fandom should do. That's fun. And if you don't like it, here's my thing is, I think the people that don't like Star Wars anymore don't like Star Wars anymore. And that's okay. You still have the classic stuff. You still have the old stuff. It's like moving on from a game you played for years, maybe an online, like Destiny for me. That's like my soul. It's deep in there. But even now, just playing for the past few weeks, kind of done already, you know?
Sure.
Ready to move on back to my other stuff and do that. I don't hate Destiny. I don't talk crap about the people that love it because a large chunk of my friends in gaming love Destiny.
Yeah.
The game never panned out to be what I wanted. I wanted it to be this crazy World of Warcraft experience with guns. Never became that. Never will become that. I'll pop in from time to time and say, what's up? And I want my friends to enjoy the hell out of it because that's their game. And that's the end of it. That's it. I have the same feelings towards fandoms. You know, the fact that people are did you watch Game of Thrones?
I haven't yet. No.
When you do,
it turns into my weekend watch.
I have to send you the funniest meme from this week's episode when you do. But we had the first, I'm sure you saw in the trailers on the internet, with the first Dance of the Dragons.
No.
And people were upset because it didn't happen exactly like it happens in the books.
Oh, my God.
You don't hear much about that because people are very consumed with Acolyte. I'm sure when Acolyte ends, we'll go back to, you know, hating House of the Dragon because it's not a one-to-one comparison for the books. But I think I've said this before, like the book is even from two points of views. One's from a court jester from the Blacks and the other one's from a maester that supported the Greens.
Yeah.
So it's two opposing viewpoints in the books. That's how it's written. So the producers are like, well, this is the canon, which is, I think, is a hilarious way to explain it away. And a fun way. But again, it's Rings of Power. I did not love it whatsoever. I watched the whole thing. I will watch season two. I am not goading on people that enjoyed it. I'm not. I don't think it to me personally, it feels like fan fiction. But guess what? It's still Middle Earth, so I'm happy to hop in and see what's up. And if I don't like it, I don't like it. I'm not going to gang up on people because they're enjoying it. Because not everyone has read the Silmarillion. You know why? Because the Silmarillion is really hard to read. Really hard. You need a highlighter and a notebook. I'm telling you now. That's the only reason I got through it the first time was because I made myself a codex in the back and started writing the names and highlighting them. Say, okay, Gandalf's name in Dwarvish is this. Gandalf's name in Elvish is this. Gandalf's name to the humans is this.
Oh my
also,
God.
Here's his nickname. Here's his god name. And then I'd highlight it in the book. I lost that Silmarillion in one of my moves. But that's my point with the fandom. It's okay to not like it. It's okay to even say, like, hey, Kevin and Tim, I didn't like this episode at all. I think it was a waste of time. I'm totally fine with that because you didn't come after Tim and I for enjoying part of it or something in it. It's when you know, sit up and posture like this was the worst episode. This is the worst series. They're ruining Star Wars. Maybe it's just not for you anymore.
And that's okay.
Totally fine. Plenty of other fandoms. Go join the Warhammer 40K folks. They added women to one of the legions recently and they're losing their minds.
But there's an entire army full of just women.
But it was a specific unit within the Space Marines that never had women, that they added women to canon. And they're losing their minds. My favorite comment, and I'll leave you all with this, was the guy on TikTok who said, you all know this is make-believe, right? He wins. Above all else, he wins.
Yep.
You all know this is make-believe, right? That's what it is. It's make-believe at the end of the day. It's fun entertainment or not fun, depending on your perspective. But at the end of the day, this is a gigantic game of make-believe that Tim and I are really into. We're spectating a D&D story.
Yeah. That's fair.
And with that, we leave you today. We'll be back.
What is that? Episode 178?
178.
178 in the bag.
We'll be back next week to wrap up Acolyte with the final episode. I'm expecting a cliffhanger. And then.
You think so?
Yeah. Because this is, I think, three seasons. They want to go five.
Three?
I think they're signed for three and they want to go five, if I remember correctly.
Holy shit.
I could see them wrapping it up in three now, though.
Three feels like a good chunk.
I mean, I'm excited that Andor is ending season two. I don't love like an eight season show.
They did, that would feel super forced. We know how his story ends.
Mando felt good for three seasons. Well, I know we're getting a season four, but apparently it's shorter, or a movie, or something like that.
And I also,
the story wrapped up in season three for me.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So I think shorter is better, and just bring the quality to the table. I can't see this going five and being effective. Three would be max for me. I could see it being two and being okay. I'd rather you spend the money for the last two seasons on something else.
Yep.
Make a new show. Personally, my thought.
Well, you did say they're working on the animated show.
There's already job postings for it. So, but I think that's different departments. I think live action and animation are separate.
True. God, you're so smart, Kevin.
I try. So smart. Well, you got wicked smart. You all have a wonderful week. Go check out Tim. He's Darkness429 everywhere in the internet. He streams on YouTube, Twitch, and TikTok Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday at Darkness429. KMagic101, KevinXVision on Twitter. I stream sometimes on Twitch. This week I will only be on Twitch because they're using my software for the charity marathon. I know I have to hook up the OBS plugin so I can stream to YouTube. I just haven't had a moment.
Okay.
The confusion on your face, I knew the immediate thought. Yes, I'm still using Restream because I haven't had time to sit down at my computer and set up the OBS plugin.
Okay. That's not what we know.
And then what else? That's it. We're Star Wars and Sketch.
Charity Marathon, Friday.
Oh, yes. Charity Marathon. When are you on?
I'm on next Thursday. So we'll do a whole nother episode. We'll finish up Acolyte. And then I will be on the following day.
8 a.m. Eastern.
Eastern.
Cool. Well, you all have a great week. And Tim?
May the Force be with you.
Back to school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.